is silent in the calm. Hushed and empty is the womb of the sky.
Welcome, O curious and inquisitive Tenno, to the Cephalon Squared Lorecast. Be warned, serious spoilers will follow, so we'd recommend skipping if you are yet to complete the main storyline, currently ending with the sacrifice. Otherwise, on with the show.
G'day, Cephalon Collective, and welcome to the 8th edition of the Cephalon Squared Lorecast. My name is Cephalon Greg. I'm joined, as always, by Cephalon Lucas. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Wow, 8th Lorecast.
8th Lorecast, indeed. And we're getting close to the end of the main story arc, too, which is interesting.
Which is probably good timing, seeing as we're getting closer to the next part of the main story arc to be released.
Exactly. Yeah, so that will be very, very exciting. I'm hoping that comes out June-ish, because we should be right up to date right around then.
Yeah, like exciting. Timing and a half.
Oh, yeah. Weather.
Weather. Well, today in Ipswich, it's currently 21 degrees Celsius with a humidity of 82%.
It's always 21. Always 21. 69 degrees Fahrenheit. Interesting. Mm. Not for me, though. It's only 16 degrees Celsius for me, humidity of 57%. So that's 60 degrees Fahrenheit. It was actually kind of cold today.
Oh, wow.
Weather is coming to Melbourne. The weather? The winter. Winter is coming.
Winter is coming, hey?
Winter is coming, so shit happens. Bloody Game of Thrones has been telling us winter's coming for ages, and I just didn't even pay attention. I'm sorry.
That was terrible.
Thank you.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm not. All right. So there's some mini news before we get on into this. You may have already seen there's been some changes to arbitrations, as we talked about on the last episode. It was just some notes last episode. But now it's actually been done, so it's rolled out on PC. We'll talk about that more on the weekend. And there will be a new Prime Vault, or Unvaulting, happening soon. I think it's April 30th it happens, and it's Loki Prime and... Do you remember who the other one was, Lucas?
I have no idea.
Damn. Loki Prime and someone else.
Loki Prime and someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, we're on the ball tonight.
Yeah, I thought you'd remember. I didn't even know you didn't even know.
Nope. I honestly have kind of been not gaming at all this week.
I noticed.
I really picked up the control at all. So,
I noticed. Yeah. Vault Prime.
Vault and Loki.
Ooh. Vault and Loki. So they're good. They're both ones that have been vaulted for a long while. And they're both primes that people have been asking me about recently in terms of, you know, how to get them, even though they're vaulted, etc. So they won't be vaulted soon. Exciting.
Soon, my pretties.
Indeed. Okay. So that was portentous. But anyway, that's the mini news, and we will now move on to this week's Lorecast. And we start, as always, with a big, big in capital letters, spoiler warning. If you haven't played through to the very end of the current storyline, we really recommend you don't listen to these. I did have someone mention to me, it was a complaint, but it was a mild complaint, because we do provide these spoiler warnings, but, he did listen to an episode that was early in the quests and contained a major spoiler for later in the quests. But that's the point of these spoiler warnings. The lore casts are no holds barred. If we want to talk about something that happens right at the end of the game, that's kind of the point of the lore cast. So, warning for you. We might talk about things that you might not want to hear. I doubt it, but we might.
You have been warned. Turn back now if you are not prepared.
Thanks, Arnie. I think that was Arnie. I don't know.
Yeah, it was kind of like a bit of an Arnie...
An Arnie wizard.
Oh, yeah.
Come with me if you want to live.
Get to the chopper.
All right. So, also, as we put at the start of all these lore casts, we do make mistakes from time to time. We do our research as best as we can, but bits of info can slip through the cracks. So if we miss something. It's not a big deal. We'll probably pick it up in a future lore cast when we just talk about stuff. So... You right there, Giggles?
Yep. I was just about to say I blame the red veil, but that's not something we've talked about yet.
We're about to. All right. So today's English words is the Chains of Harrow. So the Chains of Harrow, I'll just get right into it. The Chains of Harrow was Dee's attempt at telling a different kind of story in Warframe, which is a horror story. And it's one that plays not unlike Dead Space or similar titles, but not exactly like them either. So, you know, it is a bit atmospheric. It's much slower. It's darker. But, of course, you're not limited in terms of the weapons you've got and things like that. So it's more the atmosphere that feels like those horror games than anything else. Now, before I go on, I do want to mention, so we have made some changes to the Lorecast recently, based on some feedback that we got. And so I've moved away from telling it like a story to just explaining what happens and talking about it, because by now you should have played it anyway and you would have experienced the story, so I don't need to sort of retell it. And having to tell it from a third person and talk about the Tenno can get difficult and is a pain in the ass. So I do it a couple of times in this quest because I've written this out, but... yeah, I'm trying to move away from that and make it more discussion-based. Anyway, on to the Chains of Harrow. This quest tells the story of Rel, a fellow starchild of the Zaraman 10-0, but one that was rejected by his peers for being different. And interestingly, in another bold move for Digital Extremes, Rel actually turns out to be autistic or somewhere along the spectrum, at least as far as what we can tell based on some of the comments made during the quest. So it begins with Ordis hearing a Red Veil transmission and passing it through. So this plays on your orbiter. And you hear a discussion between two voices, one who ends up being Rel, who is on board an abandoned Steel Meridian ship, and the other is Paladino, who is a spirit medium for the Red Veil. But at the time you first hear the voice, you don't know exactly who it is. It's just an unknown female voice. Right from the start, though, we do hear Rel refer to being watched by someone, an unknown male, which we will return to many times throughout this discussion, and we hear reference to a sound, rap, tap, tap. The mission the players are sent out on sees them enter the abandoned ship. It's dark and the crew seem to have all disappeared, but as you explore further, you find that they are there, they're just dead. Seemingly killed by the Red Veil, which is evident by the Rakta Dark daggers that are sticking out some of the bodies. Soon you find blood spatters on the wall, including the Red Veil symbol, and not long after that you start to find some words that are written in blood. And the first thing you find is, "You cast him out." Soon, the strange woman, who is Paladino, of course, reaches out to the player and asks them to come find her, as the Red Veil's fanatics have been driven mad by something. Her plea contains some interesting tidbits. Now, this is a quote, direct quote from the game. I couldn't get a soundbite, so I'll be Paladino. "Great Blind Queen, help me reach the safety of the Iron Wake. Our sacred muse has abandoned the temple, leaving our people in chaos." So we're going to just sort of hold up there for a second. I just want to have our first little quick discussion and touch on her reference to the Lotus as being the Great Blind Queen. Do you think Lotus is really blind, Lucas, based on the mask that she wears?
No. No, I don't think she is. I mean, it's a tricky one. I mean, she sees a lot for someone who's blind.
Does she need to have eyes if she's sentient?
That's actually a good question.
So it's interesting because we see her helmet. We see her sort of take off the helmet at one point with Ballas. There you go. There was a major spoiler for later. And we see that she's got hair or something under there. So she must have the rest of a head under there. So it's not like it's a machine, under the, so it's, I don't know, what do you actually think is underneath the helmet? Do you think she's just got an ordinary human head under there, or is it something different or horrific? We don't know, so it's just...
Mm. It's just hearsay at the moment. It's something I've never really put a lot of thought into. I kind of just dusted it off as something like they wanted to surprise us with what she actually looked like.
Yeah, so I think that will probably come because we've still got her helmet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I wanted to bring it up, because when I was going through the notes and I saw that it said Great Blind Queen, I was like, ooh, I had never thought of that myself. So I thought I'd bring it up. Not a major discussion, but just food for thought, I guess. So we will see.
Thoughts are being fed.
Yeah. All right, let's continue. Soon, you deliver Paladino to the Steel Meridian base at Iron Wake, where she's held under guard. So, of course, Steel Meridian and Red Veil are friends. You'll learn a bit more about that later. But she's still being held under guard at the Steel Meridian base. When you meet her, you have to meet her in person. So she actually asks you to step out of the frame. So the interesting thing about this is that she seems to know about who they are, the children are. And we'll get to a little bit more about that in a second. So the gist of the whole engagement with Paladino, when you're sitting there talking to her, and she's got some really, really cool quotes. So I encourage you to sit and listen and pay attention to what she says, even though she talks painfully slowly. The gist is that you gather some relics for Paladino so that she can use them to channel Rel in a seance. And another thing that's pretty funny is the idea of a seance is a big joke to Ordis, which made me chuckle. So, while hunting for the first relic, some more info is found, or more writing is found written in blood, and this time it says, "He suffers while you dream." Now, while discussing what this means, and specifically Lotus mentions that how would he know about the second dream, or the long dream, she calls it, Paladino has another really, really fantastic quote that we'll chat about in a second. So here we go, in my best Paladino voice. "Great sentient queen, forgive me, but what you are, what you've made of yourself, is merely drawn from the dreams of these divine children. You are not she. You are not Margulis." Now that also caused me to pop on the brakes. I did not notice that when I was playing through this particular quest. So I've obviously decided to put another little discussion point in there. So obviously, Paladino knows about the Tenno being children in a steel suit, and she also knows that Lotus is a sentient queen. What do you think about that, Lucas?
Well, I mean, I can understand knowing that the Tenno are children. I mean, that going off the what we end up learning from this questline, that becomes quite evident as to why she would know something like that.
Yes, but that's true.
The great sentient queen comment, that is a bit on that throws me for a bit of a loop as well. I couldn't even give you a theory on where to start with that.
Well, I did think a little bit about it today, and my thoughts are it's probably just the passage of time. So since the second dream and the War Within has passed, and Chains of Harrow of course is after all of those occurrences, it's possible that, you know, Alad V probably couldn't keep his mouth shut and word knowledge just spread. Yeah. And perhaps by now it's just common knowledge. The other thing is she's a medium.
She is a medium.
So there is a chance that she sort of can see beyond the veil and she can see what others cannot see. So I just found that really interesting as well. And the fact that she specifically said, "What you've made yourself of yourself is merely drawn from the dreams of these divine children." So I'm wondering if we'll ever see anything built upon that. So maybe her form being, you know, in the form of Margulis is, you know, like she's just said, taken from the dreams of these children. So she analyzed what the children were thinking, and she took the form that they wanted to see her as.
Margulis was blinded. The Tenno children blinded Margulis.
They did too. They did, with their void blasts. So that's why she's... Or she at least appears to be blind.
Yeah.
Mm. So yeah, there's a lot of really interesting things in here that I did not notice while I was doing the quest. So I'm glad we just sort of picked some of those up. All right, anything else you want to say before we go on?
Okay, one little quick thing. There is a bit of a difference between knowing that someone is a sentient, but knowing that someone is a sentient queen.
Yeah, that's true, because she specifically said queen. So that's an interesting point as well, because is Lotus technically a queen? I mean, she's the daughter of Hun Hao. Wouldn't that make her a princess if they use those kind of terms? And the fact that she calls her the great sentient queen, it's just interesting. There's a lot of terminology in here that's just...
kind of thrown around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Casually.
Yeah, very casual.
And I'm pretty sure they don't throw this language in there casually without intent. Personally. All right. Moving right along. Anyway, Paladino then states that Margulis cast Rel out for being different, and that the founders of the Red Veil took him under their wing and built their faction based on his teachings. We'll touch on that a bit later as well. Now, the Lotus doesn't agree that Margulis would have cast him out for being different because, you know, she believes that Margulis loved all of the children, etc., etc. But of course, I think it really comes down to the fact that the children rejected Rel. So if you look at the webcomic that came out at the same time as The Chains of Harrow, it's set on the Zaramantan Zero. And it's set pretty much after the adults start going crazy and start hunting down the children. And all of the children lock themselves away, but they cast out Rel and they force him to stay in the rest of the ship where all the parents are killing themselves and each other while they are in the safety of a different room. So it's possible that Margulis cast him out because she saw him as being untamable or unhealable or whatever the case may be for Margulis, but it may even just be that the other Tenno cast him out. Who knows? Anyway, the unknown man that was referred to as being as watching Rel is also named at this point. He is referred to by Rel as the man in the wall. Chasing shadows throughout the ship, you will come across a spinning top, which Paladino refers to as a donda. It's a humming toy which Rel would use to focus whenever he became overwhelmed by sights and sounds. And this is really what makes us believe that he was likely somewhere on the autism spectrum. The Donda is taken back to Paladino, who uses it to channel a vision. This vision of Rel is as a child, sitting with a woman who's helping him to express his emotions through the use of cards with faces on them. Turns out that this woman is actually his mother, whose name is Kay, and this memory actually occurs aboard the Zaramantan Zero prior to the accident. All of the information that's discussed there leads the Lotus to the conclusion that the deadly ghost-like apparitions that are killing everybody aboard the abandoned ship and elsewhere now are actually physical manifestations of Rel's misplaced emotions. So she sends you to hunt down Rel and to capture his manifestations. While doing so, which is across several missions, you find more text written in blood, firstly in an Orican derelict. It says, blinded, she cast him out. So there you go. I think that really states who it was that blinded Margulis.
Yeah.
And it very clearly states that she cast him out. So I forgot about that part when I was talking about whether or not she cast him out earlier. But yeah, blinded, she cast him out. So that's interesting. It was Rel himself that blinded Margulis. Later, in a Grineer Sea Lab, it says, you rejected him and he saved you. This is not exactly clear at this stage, but we will touch on it in our final discussion, which is coming up. Later again on Earth, you see the words, "What is evil but indifference?" Now, in some ways, this is referring to the indifference of the other children towards Rel. But in other ways, some people believe that indifference is referring to the man in the wall. I believe the corpus or the red veil refer to the man in the wall as the indifference. So that is interesting. Anyway, soon, when the Lotus wonder why Rel was able to survive this long without spending time suspended in the dream, Paladino advises that he hasn't because he was bound within his warframe. And this is how she knows, of course, that the Tenno are children and that they're bound within their warframe. So she refers to his warframe as being his sacred vessel. And essentially what he did is he transferred into the warframe and they chained the warframe within their temple to keep him trapped, basically. She advises that Rel... on capturing all of the manifestations, Paladino then advises that Rel has returned to his warframe back in the temple and they have to go stop him. Now, there's still a bunch of questions up in the air at this stage, but they do get answered. In the tempo, the Tenno is then charged to destroy the chains that bound the Harrow warframe. And this is really what the reference to the chains of Harrow is. Not necessarily that Harrow himself has chains as part of his kit, but more that he was bound by chains for various reasons. Now, you use your Void Blast to get rid of those chains. And on doing so, Paladino notices that the warframe is not actually Rel, but she's cut off before she can say who it is. Eventually, after a brief fight, you do defeat Rel, and he is finally allowed to rest, but not before asking about the man in the wall. His question specifically is cut short. He says, "Who will?" And then his question is cut short, and Paladino answers, "They will have to. All of them. They owe you this." After this mission is complete, the Tenno's operator, a shadow of which, at least, will occasionally appear within the orbiter, accompanied by a spooky, "Hey, kiddo." So the man in the wall is now your responsibility. So what does all of this mean? Who? I mean, clearly it was the man in the wall that was controlling Harrow, and it is believed that Rel trapped himself in his warframe to hold back the man in the wall so that he wouldn't attack his fellow Tenno brothers and sisters, which is why, you know, you rejected him, but he saved you, was written on the walls. But what is or who is the man in the wall? What do you think, Lucas?
I have some crazy theories about this.
That's all we can have at this stage, I think.
Yeah. We kind of discussed a couple weeks ago, off air, when we were looking at, I think it was the Plains of Duviri,
I think, yeah.
Duviri, Plains of Duviri. And we actually came to the realization and through an article we found that the way that Plains is written is actually kind of pointing towards Plains of Existence.
Yeah, and not planes that fly in the sky.
Yeah, or planes that you traverse.
Mm.
So then this got me thinking. I know, I think it was Steve who mentioned that Plains of Duviri will more than likely happen sometime this year. But then he further went on a couple weeks after to mention that, I think it was in the Mogamu interview,
that was.
The man of the wall, you'll learn more about the man of the wall later on this year also. So my thoughts are that maybe they are one and the same. The man in the wall has something to do with the Plains of Duviri.
Yeah, I think it's possible that he's related to the Plains of Duviri in some way, but whether or not he is the Duviri or he is of the Duviri is yet to be seen. But I think you're probably right on that.
Yeah,
it's really hard to say. I mean, the other thing is, Some suggest that the man in the wall is, what's the word? Like a spectre that is as a result of the Tenno's use of transference.
Yeah, I could definitely believe that as well. A manifestation of their constant use of their power.
Yeah, warped by the void.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's all interesting because how can it think for itself? It does talk to you. You actually have conversations with it at certain points in your orbiter, particularly after you have done the sacrifice quest.
Yep. That was actually a very interesting conversation, that one.
Indeed.
There was also, even if you go back to the wall within and you look at what the man in the wall, because we found out that voice you hear at the end is the man in the wall.
Mm.
So you look back at what the kind of things that he said to you back at that point, like the fact that you owe him, or you're nothing without me.
Exactly. And he says you join him when you drink the kuva.
Yeah. Yeah.
What took you so long to, you know, join the team, basically? So we're not really sure what the man in the wall is, but it's...
There are definitely theories.
It's cool stuff. There's a lot of theories out there. I've read a few of them. The one that I found the best was the one about being like a specter or a manifestation of transference. I liked that one. A lot of the other ones I didn't. I thought they were a bit hokey, but you never know. They might not be. So if you've got a favorite, let us know in Discord or Facebook or wherever and tell us who you think the man in the wall is. But if you do, spoiler tags, please. Let's not spoil it for everyone else. There's a spoiler section in the Discord, or you can hide it with a whole bunch of dots on Facebook and just say spoiler, spoiler, spoiler.
Or email it to us.
Or email it to us, and we'll mention it on a future lorecast. Which is a good point, actually. Once we do run out of the quests, we do have to think of certain things to do, so we might actually ask for listener questions in regards to the lore that we just talk about for a whole episode. All right, so as a quick little bonus, you can go back to visit Paladino in Iron Wake. I wasn't aware of this until I was doing the research for this, and you can actually purchase the Donda decoration from her for your orbiter at a cost of 25 ducats. So go get something virtually free for your orbiter. Yay! Did you know that, Lucas? Have you got it?
I did. I do have that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have it.
It's a pretty little thing that I got sitting on my counter.
Indeed.
Hmm.
All right, so on to yours.
All right, so this week I'm not doing so much a delve into a particular character, but more of a particular collective. So, as we start, no cost too great, no blood too precious. The sacred mantra of the Red Veil, which show their passionate rage in being cleansers of the origin system, through the acts of violent and bloody purge. Instead of training their members to be warriors, the Red Veil decided to take the role of assassins, to stealthily eliminate those they deemed corrupt. This mindset of theirs, of course, has a tendency to stand on many a toe. But what else can you expect from a group with such strong doctrinaire beliefs? In the early game, when Warframe was very early, the Red Veil was actually the first of the six syndicates to reach out to the Tenno. Through the events of the Spectres of Liberty, where a senior member by the name of Cantus requested aid in the salvation of their numbers that had been taken hostage by both Grineer and Corpus forces in an attempt to force their submission. These operatives could be found during rescue missions, where either the Grineer or Corpus would tighten their security with special wardens in preparation for the Tenno's interference. For the rescue of the Red Veil operatives, the Tenno were rewarded with Spectre blueprints. This was not the last time we would hear from Cantus. The next meeting would come later during the Avalanche Offensive. And whilst dealings would be brief, they would still be impactful in the events of the Origin system. Cantus informed the Tenno of an unusually high concentration of Arctic Eximus training on Mars. And so the Tenno went forth to dispatch this growing force. Upon completion, Cantus rewarded the Tenno with an affinity booster that was believed to have been used by the Corpus in order to improve the training of their forces. So we have a little bit of a background on the Red Valen. So how about looking at something a bit more interesting? To look at how their relations are between the Vale and the other syndicates. First, looking towards their close allies, the Steel Meridian. Best viewed as a sword and shield relationship. The Red Vale seeks to cut down corruption and those that would seek to do harm to more peaceful individuals, whilst the Steel Meridian seeks to protect those said more peaceful individuals. This does bring up a very important fact that during points in which Grineer will defect to Steel Meridian, the Vale has a bit of a tendency to attempt to acquire them for research purposes. On the other ends of the scale, we have the enemies of the Vale, the Arbiters of Hexus. This hatred is related purely to the Tenno. While the Vale would see the Tenno and Warframes as a means to an end, the Arbiters do not share this view, and would see the Tenno as more than a weapon, more than a means. The last important relationship is that with Cephalon Suda. A relationship of disagreement. Suda does all she can to protect and preserve all information within the system, whilst the Vale cares little for such things, and if something was to be erased during an operation, that's no loss to the Vale. The other syndicates all seem to have very neutral standings with the Vale, and go about their business with indifference. So, a couple of things I want to discuss with you, Greg, is the difference in syndicate structure being one such topic, and also the founding of the Vale, because you know you touched on that a little bit in the Chains of Harrow. Could you give us a little bit more on that?
Yeah, so I'll look at the specific quote. So Paladino mentions that we're talking about Rell. It was when Lotus first discovers that Rell was a Tenno and suggests that Margulis would never have cast him out. And Paladino says, oh no, Margulis didn't protect Rell. She cast him out for he was different. Our foremothers took him in and studied his teachings. We became the Vale, the shroud of his blessed existence. Now that's really interesting because it directly suggests that the Red Vale was created based on Rell's teachings. So based on the teachings of a Tenno. Which isn't stated anywhere else except in this mission. Mm. And it's not really clear whether or not Paladino represents a subset of the Red Vale, or whether or not she's representing the Red Vale as a whole. She mentions the Foremothers, and is that the Foremothers of the Red Vale? It's very interesting.
Yeah. So possibly the Red Vale is an offcut of the Vale.
Hmm.
That is a very interesting thought. Yeah, I don't know. What direction to really take that one.
Well, it's hard to say. They might just be the Red Vale, for all we know, but
yeah, just kind of maybe renamed as they went, or...
Yeah, well, just to know that that one of the factions was actually based on the teachings of a Tenno, and therefore knew about the Tenno children for however long.
Yeah.
And kept it a secret.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at someone like the Arbiters of Hexus, all we can really say on their perspective at the moment is that they've heard the legends of the Tenno, but they don't want it to just be legends. They think the legends and myths of the great Tenno is misguiding, and they should be more than myths and legends. So it really does bring to perspective that the Red Veil, if the Red Veil is the only syndicate that was built around an understanding of the Tenno, then that makes things quite interesting as to why the Arbiters of Hexus would be so indifferent.
Yeah, indeed. So it's cool stuff. It was actually, I learned a lot more than I expected while preparing for this particular episode.
Yeah. Another thing, as I said, was the syndicate structure itself. Because, the Red Veil was the very first syndicate introduced to the game, and our first encounter was with an individual named Cantus. And, we had a couple of run-ins with Cantus, but now with the Chains of Harrow, we have a completely different representative. And then further still, whenever you go to a relay or you talk to the syndicate leaders aboard your dropship, you don't talk to either Cantus or
Paladino,
yeah. So it's very interesting. Like who actually leads it? Is it one single leader, or is it kind of like a different sectors, different leader to different sectors?
I mean, I guess that different syndicates can have different structures, but it is just interesting that all of the other syndicates seem to have one leader that's always the same leader.
Yeah.
And is mentioned when you actually read about this. So we did do our syndicate episode back in episode 7, I think it was. And when we were talking about all of them, all of the, the wiki and all the other places that we searched for information, they would all reference the leader of that particular faction, except for the Red Veil. So it is interesting that they are different. So we don't really know how they work in terms of structure.
Yeah, I mean they do seem very cult-like. So maybe there is maybe it's Rel. Maybe Rel is the leader of the Red Veil, and everyone is just speaking on behalf of Rel.
Yeah, well he's gone now. We killed him. We just killed. Well, we allowed him to rest. So. Yes. All right. Anything else you want to add in regards to the Red Veil or to Chains of Harrow, apart from the fact that Chains of Harrow is super bloody cool and you should do it?
Chains of Harrow is amazing. There actually was one other thing I kind of wanted to point up to pick up a little bit. It's not confirmed, but in a lot of my research, I did find something suggesting that the Red Veil was actually responsible for creating the Wraith Grineer weapons.
Oh, that makes sense, because they're red.
Yeah. And saying it was basically that as a part of the alliance with Steel Meridian, the Steel Meridian would supply weapons, some of the weapons that they acquired to Red Veil, and then Red Veil would outfit them as Wraith weapons. It's just something I found, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I didn't know that at all.
Hmm.
Cool stuff is cool. All right. So thank you for listening to episode 8 of our Lorecast. Hopefully you learned some new things, because we certainly did. The next Lorecast is still a couple of weeks away, a good 4 or 5 weeks away, and that one will be, I guess... what comes next? The sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
The apostasy prologue and the sacrifice. The apostasy.
Okay. The apostasy, do them together at the same time.
Because the apostasy prologue's relatively short. It does contain a lot in it.
Technically a part of the same story.
Yeah.
I think it was just a thin slice of the cake before the cake was ready.
Yeah. So that's what we'll be looking at next time we do our Lorecast this weekend. There is no dev stream, thank you, but we do have
a Cephalon stream on two channels.
Oh yeah, there is, of course. So we'll be doing our streams, which we mentioned on the latest episode, so keep an eye out for our streams on Friday and Saturday. Friday on Mad Capsules on Twitch, and Saturday on Silver, SILVR underscore light, LGHT, on Twitch for Saturday. So come along, watch us, 8 p.m., sorry, Australian Eastern Standard Time. And of course, there will be our next episode on Saturday, in which we do have another interview coming along. So keep an eye Sunday. Out for that. Did I say Saturday?
You said Saturday.
That's right. It's been a long day. Yeah. So thank you for listening. If you need to get in contact, or you'd like to get in contact with us to let us know anything, give us some feedback, ask for something specific, etc., go to our website. That's the best place to get in contact with us. There's an email us section. There's a contact us page. Make it nice and easy for you. Otherwise, you can join our Facebook community, Discord community, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, subscribe to our YouTube page. All of those wonderful things, it's all available on the website, which is cephalonsquared.com. We have got to 50 ratings, finally. So thank you to everyone who has been rating us. But don't stop now. Keep rating. Give us an honest rating on your platform of choice and help to spread the word to help us grow. My name is Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules all over the place. Lucas, who are you?
I'm just avoiding the sound of a helicopter flying over top, but I am Silverlight all over the interwebs, SILVRLGHT.
Indeed. And a helicopter flying over Ipswich. I'm guessing that's not an uncommon occurrence.
Not really.
Same where I live.
We got an air base nearby, so quite a lot of air traffic.
Yeah, I get quite a lot of air traffic as well with helicopters, just because I live in a shitty area. But shit happens. Got to live somewhere, don't you? That's life.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Thanks again. So thanks to Jan at Disco underscore Box on Twitter for the intro and outro, and those new ones are coming soon, I promise. And thanks to you for listening, and we'll see you in just a couple of days. Please stop by our streams and say g'day. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to cephalonsquared@gmail.com or get in touch via Twitter or Facebook. You can also join our Discord or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. See you next week.